Thank you, Brother Dawn, and I appreciate the introduction and the privilege of being in this position today. And I greet you each in the Lord Jesus Christ, and upon this special day that has been set aside by many nations to honor mothers. And this is a tribute to our mothers. And we'll begin with Genesis, the third chapter and the 20th verse. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Mother's Day is now celebrated in the USA, Australia, Mexico, Denmark, Finland, Italy, Turkey, Belgium, Russia, and China, and Thailand. All have special celebrations to honor mothers, but none the same as the USA. We make special events of it all across the nation. And even our noted President Abraham Lincoln said of his mother, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my mother." Well, this is almost true. All we owe is to our Lord and our Savior, that He sacrificed for us His very life, hanging upon the cross. And I would like to say also, who of us cannot give our mothers great credit for how we have fared in this this great arena of life? Who gave us the desire to search for that greatest of all influences in our lives, God the Eternal Father and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and His gospel? And again, I am thankful for, and I owe my angel mother Angela much of my understanding of God, of Christ, of the Holy Ghost, and of life, and to my devout mother, and to my beloved wife and mother of my children. I owe most of the raising of my children in the fear of God and Christ, and most of them to serving the Lord. Washington Irving said, "A father, but not this father, may turn his back on his children. Brother and sister may become inveterate enemies. Husbands may desert their wives, and wives their husbands. But mother's love endures through all in good repute, in bad repute, in the face of the world's condemnation. The mother still loves, and still she hopes that her child may turn evil from his or her evil ways and repent. Still, she remembers the infant smile, and which of us don't? Husband, wife, or brother, or sister, that once filled her bosom with rapture. The merry laugh, the joyful shout of his or her childhood, the opening promise of his or her youth, and she can never be brought to think her child all unworthy. I repeated that. And again, I must say, a father may lose hope for children, for a child, but a mother will never falter in her faith in them. And I read yesterday a letter she had handwritten to three of our children. She never left hope, even though I sometimes do. W.R. Wallace said, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." Often we've heard that. Proverbs 31:28, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." I praise my mother, I thank her, and my dear wife, also departed, for all that they endured for me and my wife, for my family. I love them each dearly, but the Lord Jesus Christ even more. H.W. Beecher said, "The mother's heart is a child's schoolroom, but I say, and its comfort station." How often have we all been comforted at the bosom of our mother and seen it in our children? Cecil Francis Alexander said in his poem, "David in the Royal David City," "Once in a royal David city stood a lonely cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for its bed. Mary was that mother bid, Jesus was her little child." And I must add also, "Never was there a child more loved or hated." And he was hated, but he is also loved, than Mary's child. But never a love can approach that greatness, that love of that manger babe, Mary's, his mother. Again, Abraham Lincoln wrote, "I remember my mother's prayer, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." And I will add, who of us can deny the same all the way through life, in both sickness and joy and battle? Anne Morrow Lindbergh, the wife of Charles Lindbergh, who had their child kidnapped in the 1930s, said, "By and large, mothers and housewives are the only workers who do not have regular time off. They are the great vacationless class." at a detail. And again, I must add, every husband and father should take note of this class and give them all the help you can. Instead of ducking the responsibility with, I worked all day and I need a rest. Oh, have we heard that? They, the great vacationless class, are the strongest ones in the family, even if we flex our great muscles. They're the strongest. The author is unknown of this. The most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. How true. And lend her a hand with both the housework and the infant care, like change a diaper more often. We don't do that enough. Will Durant said, tired mothers find that spanking takes less time than reasoning and penetrates sooner to the seat of the memory. How true it is. Try it more often, or for the first time. And I'm adding an amen, an amen to that correcting. Mary S. Calderon said, our children are not going to be just our children. They are going to be other people's husbands and wives and parents of our grandchildren. How true that is. And you who have them know how precious they are, and you get to spoil them and send them home. But I hope you're not, because they must someday soon get over it to preserve themselves. And we don't realize when we do this very special little thing that they have to reverse that in their lives, or they pay a very dear price. The Polish verb, the greatest love is a mother's. Then comes the dogs, then the sweethearts. And oh, how sweet that is. An African proverb, what a child says, he has heard at home. Never have more than one language clean and straight with your children and with the world. A Hebrew proverb, what daughters do, the mothers did. And I say, and sons and fathers. A Chinese proverb, there is only one pretty child in the world, and every mother has it. Wives, and every father too. Oop. Yeah, I'm too far. And the scripture in Proverbs 31, 18 to 31. She preserveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth out not by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. That's a part of the the spindle. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She afford she is not afford of the snow for her household. For her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. The leftover pieces, that is her dress. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen. No way. Okay. I had a comment or there, but somehow or other something dropped off there. This is the proverb of the scriptures of Christianity and of Christ. And she indeed makes us well known in the gates. Because what we are is her pride, and much of her making, and we should not forget that either. Then one of my favorite poets, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, said, "Even he that died for us upon the cross, in the last hour, in the unutterable agony of death, was mindful of his mother as if to teach us that his holy love should be our last worldly thought, the last point of earth from which the soul should take its last flight for heaven." Then in John 19:25-27, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home." And that is the way it was. The way that we should order our life is by that very thought of Christ. It shows that although she was sorely afflicted by childbearing as a punishment for her taking of the forbidden fruit, yet she has been elevated above the husband and father in almost every instance that we find in Scripture where it's mentioned. And my final word is, should we do less? I honor my mother, my mother of my children, and all mothers.